Hello, everyone. My name is Dave, and I'd like to begin by reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. The heading of the paragraph is the fellowship of the believers, and it begins, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." For those who don't know me, I thought I'd give you a little background on who I am, how I came here to be speaking tonight. My name's Dave, as I've already said, married to Fiona, dad to three sons, one of whom is here. Despite copious beatings, I couldn't persuade the other two to come, but never mind, and they're called Adam and Nathan. In my spare time, I like listening to music, watching sport, and also taking part in sport, although with old age approaching quickly, I need to be careful what I get up to because recovery tends to take a little bit longer these days. But in order to pay the mortgage and keep the family in the style they've become accustomed to, I work as a teacher. Normally, when I stand in front of a class, I feel confident that generally I have a greater understanding of the topic that I'm looking at than the children do. Tonight's a bit different. I have to say, I'm approaching the verses we're going to look at with a sense I also am trying to work out these things in my own life. I don't claim to have all the answers. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 12, that we, as individuals, are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. I am certainly trying to do that. Now, here comes the first confession of the night. You must promise this information will not leave this room, and my headmaster will not get to hear about it. I am only an okay and occasionally a good teacher. As a person who's been in this profession for 20 years, I believe that to be an exceptional teacher, producing excellent lessons, meeting the needs of all my pupils, I need to be working all the hours God sends in order to fulfill that brief. Sadly, I have neither the energy nor the commitment to produce that excellence. And as I was thinking about my role as a teacher while planning for this talk, I realized that my okayness was very prevalent in other areas of my life. I was always an okay and occasionally good football player. I started to play the guitar at some point, but I could never find the determination to progress past about 7 or 8 basic chords. My tennis playing was always okay, as was my drumming when I used to drum. I am, to all intents and purposes, Mr. Okay. I thought further about this, and I realized the same criticism, if that's what it is, could be leveled at my Christian life. I am, to all intents and purposes, an okay Christian. I'm generally polite to people. I try to help at church whenever I can. I give to the work of the church. My commitment to reading the Bible is okay, fluctuating between good, usually when God seems very close, or I have to do a talk in church, and not so good. The same could be said of my prayer life. And my difficulty with living this sort of okay Christian life is that I have this huge level of frustration. This was not what I signed up for when I became a Christian. The Bible is full of people who are changed significantly, who experience miracles, who hear God talking clearly to them, and yet this, on the whole, is not my experience. However, in Acts 2, the verses I just read, we see a people who are living more than an okay Christianity. It was radical, it was exciting, and it was full of the miraculous. So my question is, were these people different from us? Were they a special people who experienced the amazing way of life purely to kickstart the church into life? I believe that they were not. If they can live lives experiencing the power of God in real life-changing ways, I believe that we can also. Otherwise, if this is not true, the best I can hope for is an okay Christianity struggling along until the day that I die. But if it is true that I can truly experience God's power in my life, then what is it that the early church was doing that made their experience so much better than mine? I believe the clues can be found in Acts 2, verse 42. They, meaning the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so there are three points that I want to make tonight about this short verse. The first, the early Christians devoted themselves. Now, does devotion look something like this? Ben, please. Is that what devotion looks like? Is it really a kind of wishy-washy hopelessness? Did the early church just sit around hoping, please God, please notice us? The Cambridge Dictionary gives the following definition for the verb to devote. To give your time or effort completely to something you believe in or to a person. Or to use a particular amount of time or energy doing something. This definition suggests that devotion is a far more active pastime. As far as I can see, my Christian life and my relationship with God should be something active, not a passive thing where I sit around hoping God will do things for me. So perhaps devotion looks a bit more like this. And if there are any Welsh, Scots, Irish, or Australians in the church tonight, I'm very sorry. Thank you, Ben.
Wilkinson right back in the pocket, and Dawson suddenly gets away. And that's done vitally well to Brigham. Wilkinson is now perfectly in range. That has to be a penalty. He came up the side. Again, Wilkinson in the place. Johnny Wilkinson, he's got it! It's over at last at the fourth attempt. Johnny Wilkinson is on target. England in the lead with only 20 seconds.
Johnny Wilkinson is currently the second all-time point scorer in International Rugby Union. His devotion to practice was legendary. In his own words, sometimes when I'm kicking, I can get obsessive about seeing results. I'll tell myself I need to hit 5 in a row from here. Then maybe I'll hit 4 in a row and just miss the 5th one. Instead of being satisfied with that, I won't allow myself to leave until I've hit 5. So 1.5 hours later, and having missed loads of appointments and left myself running completely late, I might do it. That may sound obsessive. I think it does, Johnny, yes. But I like to think that sort of thing gives me the extra 1% that could get me through in really tough situations. I must have practiced thousands of kicks, so when I'm on the pitch, I know exactly what needs to be done. Now, Wilkinson devoted himself to his art. His ability helped England win the 2003 Rugby Union World Cup. That kick you saw there was actually done on his weaker foot. But because he had practiced so much, his right weaker foot was almost as strong as his left. If Wilkinson devoted himself to winning a treasure that will be destroyed by moth and vermin, how much more should we devote ourselves to a king who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us? So what does devotion look like for us in the 21st century? Well, for each of us, it will be different. How I devote myself to God as a husband, father of three, a teacher, and all the other roles I play will be different to how you do it in your life. Work out your salvation. So my next question is, what did these early apostles, these early Christians, devote themselves to? Well, it says very clearly, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Due to time, I can only talk about two of them in any depth, really. And the first I'd like to talk about was the apostles' teaching. And I wonder what it was at the time. The New Testament wasn't written, so there must have been loads of Old Testament teaching. And if you certainly look at early sermons in the church, they all contained Old Testament verses, which they generally used to point people to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. I imagine also their teaching contained loads of great stories about spending time with Jesus. I can imagine Peter saying, and maybe for the thousandth time, boys, come here, come here, come here. Did I ever tell you that time I walked on the water with Jesus? And I bet they got so fed up of hearing it, but there you go. Or maybe they talked about how Jesus healed the sick, supernaturally provided food, raised the dead, etc., etc., etc. Is it any wonder the early church believed that Jesus was able to do miraculous things? And as they believed, so miraculous things happened. Certainly if you look at our reading from tonight. Nowadays, just a quick glance online will reveal to kind of all kind of Christian teaching. I could spend hours looking at debates about should music be played in church? Did we evolve? Did God create us? The role of homosexuality in church? Should women be leaders? I could spend hours and hours and hours. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, when I was amongst you, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. With all the issues there were at the Corinthian church, Paul's main focus was Jesus and his death. Later in the book of Acts, the apostles were asked to give some advice to Christians who were being told that they should be circumcised. Their response, and this is a real paraphrase, I must admit, we don't want to burden you with lots of rules, so be careful what you eat and avoid sexual immorality. We need to be careful we are not burdening people with all sorts of rules and regulations. Jesus, his forgiveness and his grace should be the main focus of our teaching. The second aspect I want to look at in more detail is they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Fiona, my wife, goes to St. Andrew's Church of England in Hove. She was brought up an Anglican, and that is where her heart lies. And I sometimes go with her to services, and their tradition is that communion is done on a weekly basis. And I really like the fact that when it's time for communion, we go out to the front and we kneel at the altar to receive the body of Christ. I love it because it reminds me of the fact that I follow a king. Not a second-rate, two-bit king, but a saviour whose name is above all names, who has a kingdom that is far above and beyond anything that I could ever imagine. And when I kneel at that altar, it reminds me that he is great and I am just a small servant, albeit one who is loved greatly. After a recent sermon by Tim at our church, I asked Fiona about what life was like in church that she went to as a youngster. And I was particularly interested in the kneelers. Now, there may be a technical term for it. I don't know what it's called. But you know the lot of kind of cushion things? Yeah, about kind of that big, the kind of cuboid shape. Hassocks. The place just outside Brighton. No. Hassocks, okay. Fair enough. And they used to be in the pews. She said a lot of people used to kneel when it was time for prayer. Nowadays, it's hardly any. And I wonder if we have emphasized the love and friendship of Jesus so much that we have forgotten above all that he is the King of Kings. Having said that, I enjoy the way we do communion here. It is still a serious matter, but I enjoy the informality of the body of Christ sitting around the table, enjoying the company of each other and the company of the one who paid such a great price that we might know forgiveness. In conclusion then, as I've thought about this talk, I have realised that maybe I am more of a kind of Olivia Newton-John Christian, more hopelessly devoted than actively devoted. Maybe the lack of God's presence in my life and that power is because I am not active enough. After all, even Olivia Newton-John became actively devoted in the end. Maybe she did just change her wardrobe, change her hair and take up smoking, but she did something to attract the attention of John Travolta. Could, and here's my teacher hat coming out, could what I've talked about tonight be summed up in this equation? Could it really be that simple? I don't know. Jesus talks about let the little children come to me, for such as theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, children are simple little creatures. Maybe we should be the same. And at the end of the day, devoting yourself to the apostles' teaching, it's really devoting yourself to Jesus. Devoting yourself to the fellowship is about devoting yourself to trying to live the best of you can, like Jesus. Devoting yourself to prayer is really just talking to Jesus about anything and everything. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And finally, devoting yourself to the breaking of bread is all about remembering what Jesus did for us. Before I did this talk, I met with Tim the other day to discuss it and talk about it. And he asked me what at first seemed like a really tricky question. Dave, why did they devote themselves so much? The simple answer, they had seen and they had met with Jesus. And if we also are to devote ourselves, we also need to see and meet with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your love. I thank you that when you asked Peter the question, he said, Lord, who else has the words of eternal life? And there is no one else, Lord. And so we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to devote our lives more to you. That you would show us how to work, how that works out in our everyday situations, as parents, as partners, as whatever we do. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to devote ourselves to you. And as we do that, may we be filled with your Spirit and may we see your power released in our lives, Lord. We just long for a deeper and a more powerful walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.